I know you can hear me without the amplifier, but we're Facebook Live, so in order for those on Facebook to hear, we need to use the microphone. So, all right, Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing. There's a singular thing that you can be confident in, and that is the good work of the Lord. He which hath begun a good work in you. I'm thankful that's the kind of work he does. It's not shabby. It's not half done. It's not partial. It's a good work. And he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And thank God that's the confidence that we can have in the Lord, and that bolsters our faith so that we can believe the Lord to continue that work. And that builds a hope that our future is going to be secure and going to be strong. Hebrews 11 is part of our scripture text, as well as James chapter 2, the portion that deals with faith with works. So we'll take time to look at those as we go through the lesson. But trusting God, very much a key from the very start of our walk with God. Trusting him as we pray, trusting him as we repent, trusting him as we're baptized, and on and on. Trusting him to be filled with the Spirit, trusting him as we obey the Word of God and walk with him. Thank the Lord that our trust continues to grow, and he doesn't leave that trust just hanging or in the dust, or however you want to phrase it in terms of it falling apart. But thank God we can believe the Lord. And as we look at the characters of Hebrews 11, we recognize their faith caused them to act. I don't think there's any one of the many characters of faith listed in Hebrews 11 that just sat around waiting for the Lord to do something. They all did something. They all were involved. They all came to a point of action. And thank God that's where we are. The Christian faith is demonstrated by response. We respond to the Lord and his call. We respond to the gospel, and our lifestyle choices are affected. Our affirmation of truth and how we live by that truth, and our confidence in God that he will continue the miraculous. Praise God. And the miraculous is indeed the way he performs, the way he acts. And thank God we're able to experience that in a great measure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's not a riddle. That's not a talking in mystery. It's simply showing the aspect of faith that it's going to continue whether you see it or not, and whether you sense it or not. Amen. It's going to continue on. The evidence of things not seen. There are those who would mock and say, oh, you have blind faith, huh? Well, if we see it, what do you have to have faith for? So, the evidence of things not seen is what faith is going to grab a hold of. Amen. And thank the Lord that we can step out in that faith and believe the author and the finisher of our faith is going to bring us to completion and bring us through his power and his blessing. In particular, the text of Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us how that faith is to operate in our lives and how it pleases the Lord, or rather it's put in a negative way. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. So we can change that to say, with faith, it is possible to please the Lord. And then as we follow him, as we're confident in him, we are rewarded for our diligence in seeking him. Praise God. And thank the Lord that that is evident in so many ways for our salvation, which is the main thing. Don't want to miss that. And for so many other areas of blessing that he provides: healing, comfort, peace, strength, a financial blessing. The list can go on and on, because faith is rewarded. And thank God that we can understand the things that God provides for us as we hold on to him in faith. Think for a moment now, and besides salvation, I've already identified salvation as being the greatest blessing that the Lord could give as a result of your faith. Think for a moment, what is one of the greatest things? I know it'll be really hard to narrow it down to just one that you can mention here this morning, but what is one of the great things that faith provided for you, or that you obtained by faith? And faith in God, faith in his works, faith in his ability to answer prayer. What is one thing, Sister Glover? Peace? Amen. All right. And you have to remember he was premature by 8 weeks. And thank God for faith. Say again. Okay. Forgiveness from the Lord. And fear, the Bible says, has torment, a very strong weapon of the enemy. But faith says, get out of here, fear. Amen. Yes. Sarah. Okay. I remember Dave saying that the name of Jesus is above every name. It's above cancer. Praise God. And thank the Lord for that power. Brother Mario. Okay. Look at the vast range of blessings. Sister Nett, did you have your hand up? Okay. An incredible exchange that we make, our liabilities for his assets, if we were to put it in financial terms or transactional terms, our weaknesses for his power. Tremendous. The confidence that we have in him. Now, it's important to have confidence in yourself to a degree, from the terms of self-esteem and so on. You're God's kid. Amen. Don't talk yourself down. God doesn't like his kids talked about, including you. Praise God. So have faith and confidence that the Lord can use you. Remember that the apostles prayed after they were threatened and imprisoned and all of that. And they prayed, Lord, give your servants boldness that we may speak your word. Well, they were being threatened for speaking the word. And prison was awaiting them, and persecution was going to be ramped up. But with boldness, they gave witness of the resurrection. Praise God. And what a thing we can celebrate in our time today. Amen. And thank God for the power that the Lord gives to us, so we can please him. And our faith is able to step forward in that. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul identifies a treasure that we have in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that's quite a distinction, isn't it? A spiritual treasure, a heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power, not of us. We don't have that power, but it's His power that He gives to us. Praise God. And so Paul goes on in that passage of 2 Corinthians 4 and gives us a dose of reality that the power brings us through. He said, we're troubled, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, and we're cast down. That doesn't sound very powerful or very victorious, but he qualifies each of those circumstances. He said, we're troubled, but we're not destroyed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Praise God. I'm thankful that the power of the Lord is there to strengthen us and bring us through those situations because of His excellent power and our faith in that excellent power. Praise God. And so we continue on and not sitting around and whining and crying and saying, God, what's going on here anyway? Well, we have those moments, sure. But thank God His faith raises us up and we continue on giving glory to Him and doing what we can to magnify Him and to lift Him up. Faith is always accompanied by obedience. That's why James, he said, somebody says, I have faith without works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, the controversy a little bit there is a misunderstanding of the works that you would attempt to earn salvation. You can't do that. And Titus very emphatically states that it is not by works which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I like the way the two elements of salvation are mentioned there, just like Jesus said, be born of the water and born of the Spirit. He said the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Spirit, water and Spirit, together there, performing the new birth. But not by works that we've done, simply obeying the Word of God. A man named Dallas Willard made this statement. Grace is not opposed to effort. And we're talking about action. It's going to be included. He said, it is opposed to earning. Earning is an attitude. Effort is an action. You get the distinction there? And we can't earn it. It's not by works. It's by faith that we are saved. But we make the effort to obtain the salvation and obey the Word of God and step into the realm where He has provided that means of blessing. Praise God. So our works or our actions are going to demonstrate our faith. And right from the beginning, that's the way it was. How did Abel and Cain know to offer sacrifice? How did they know the proper sacrifice? Obviously, Adam and Eve taught them. And as they grew into be young men, as they each took their respective field of labor, Abel being a shepherd, and Cain being a farmer, they worked at it until at one point Cain decided the fruit of the ground that he brought forth was going to be his sacrifice. And we conjecture why he did it that way. Maybe he just decided, this bowl of fruit and vegetables looks nice. Took a long time to grow. I had to work and cultivate and harvest and prepare. Look at that. That's a nice sacrifice. Maybe he didn't want to barter with his brother Abel and say, I need a lamb, and what would you like to trade for? I've got a whole bunch of vegetables. I've got all kinds of fruit. Let's make a trade. Or maybe he got squeamish about blood. We don't know. But he offered the wrong sacrifice. His works didn't go in accordance with faith in God's command. And God gave him a second chance. But he became very angry, so angry that he took his brother's life. And the whole irony of the thing, that if he didn't want to shed the blood of a lamb, but yet he shed the blood of his brother. Because that's how bad sin is. That's how it can take you down the road to destruction much faster and more completely than you could even imagine. But thank God, Abel's offering was acceptable. And the text said he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and that was acceptable. He went through the process of giving the correct sacrifice. And again, we understand that it was a connection to what was going to happen on the cross, that a lamb was going to be slain, blood was going to be shed. That is God's principle right from the beginning, when Adam and Eve had to be covered by animal skins and blood had to be shed in order to do that. And it's a figure, it's a type of all that the Lord was going to fulfill for us in Calvary and the cross. Amen. And our faith makes our walk possible. Enoch walked with God, the Bible says. And what an amazing experience he must have had. There's only a few verses in the Word of God that capture the life of Enoch, but my goodness, can you imagine walking with God, having the testimony that he pleased God, and then he was not, for God took him. You know what a prototype is? What's a prototype? What is it? Okay, a sample, a first model of something that is being invented. It's an effort to see how a concept or an invention is going to work. I don't think God needed to experiment with the rapture. I don't think he needed to say, let me see here, how are we going to make this work? We don't want to lose anybody in the process, so Enoch, you're going to be the one we're going to try it out on. I don't think a prototype was necessary from that perspective, but I think God was showing us something of what he can do and how the church is going to be gone to be taken with him. Praise God. And the Lord made it possible because of Enoch's desire to walk with the Lord and to please the Lord, and his faith brought him to that level. Because there's a lot of things that were going on. This is just prior to Noah and his time, when the imagination of man was only evil. And Enoch was in the beginning of that society. So his choice to walk with God was challenged probably in many areas, but he stuck with that choice by faith. And likewise, you and I can follow through in that regard. Brother Mike. Okay. So obviously his life, even though we don't have much information about it, his life had quite an impact Praise God. And that aspect of being taken, to being translated, to be in the presence of the Lord, showing us that that's what is the reward of faith. You diligently seek Him. Not haphazardly, not coincidentally, not when it's convenient. And, I haven't prayed for a while. I haven't read the Bible for a while. I guess it's time to do my quarterly investment in the things of God. No, it's diligently seeking Him. And He is a rewarder of those who do that. Obviously, Enoch had that kind of desire. Not haphazard, not coincidentally, not infrequently, but diligently seeking the Lord. Noah prepared an ark, and it was for him personally, and he invested a lot of work, over 100 years, in that project of preparing the ark. But it was not only for him, it was for his house. And thank God we can believe for the saving of our house. And I'm thankful the Scripture bears that out many, many times, that their household was saved. And Cornelius and his household, the Philippian jailer and his household, Lydia and her household, praise God. We're believing for that. Amen. And thank God that the Lord can do that kind of work. So Noah recognized his effort was required, not only for himself, but for those in his household. And thank God all eight of them walked into the ark. A very small minority when you consider the population of the earth at that time, whatever it might be. The population of the earth today, 7 billion, and growing by the moment. Amazing. We talk about millions, billions, trillions. Our national debt is in the trillions now. I hate to even think about that. Just to give you an idea of the amount that a billion is compared to a million, we'll use financial terms. If you spent $1,000 a day, every day you had $1,000, it would take about 3 years to spend $1 million. That would be fun to try, wouldn't it? If you had $1 billion and spent $1,000 a day, it would take you almost 2,400 years to spend it. That's the difference. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So when we talk about 7 billion people upon the face of the earth, it's staggering how many could be involved. But yet God says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does God have that much mercy? Does God have that much forgiveness? Yes, He does. Praise God. How are we going to reach 7 billion? One at a time. Amen. And the Lord help us to do that, because our preaching, our efforts to make disciples, our faithfulness, our teaching, all of that fits into God's plan. And the faithfulness of fulfilling that is what we need to make sure that we're going to fulfill. Now, we can't do it by human effort alone. It takes anointing. It takes power. And it takes His Word. It takes the moving of His Spirit. And what we're certainly familiar with, all of the working that God desires to do in fulfilling His plan of salvation. Thank God we can be a part of that. But it's not mysterious. It's not a program. It's not a button that we're going to push. It's simply doing the work of God and teaching, preaching His Word and making disciples, because He confirms His Word with signs following. Faith makes his call feasible. Abraham was called. Abraham was told, leave the country of your father, and he did. And he was a wealthy man even at this point. And as he began to release his holdings and sell out and so on, I don't know if he began to have stable sales or not. You know, their version of a garage sale. I don't know. You know, people asking him, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm moving. Where are you going?" "I don't know." You can imagine how ridiculous it may have seemed to people as they spoke to him, and but yet Abraham withstood all of that from his friends, from his family, from his business associates, everything, and he stepped out by faith because faith makes it feasible. And oh my, what incredible things then that happened to him as the Lord led him in the direction of fulfilling that calling, and then his son Isaac being born, and all that God fulfilled in his life. Thank God. Now that's faith that we see in examples of people in the past. What about today? Today, it's very possible as well to fulfill by faith. Romans 10:17 gives us the means by which faith is increased, and it's hearing the Word of God and the examples that are in the Word of God and faith that was rewarded in the Word of God. Praise God. Brings us to the point where we can believe the Lord for faith as well. And the Bible tells us that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody has faith. You demonstrate that when you wake up in the morning and you flip the switch. Pretty soon you won't have to do that. It's going to be daylight when you wake up and you'll have that panic attack. Oh no, I overslept. No, it's just, praise God, summertime. But we, our faith, and every man has that faith. Hit the light switch, turn the thermostat, start the car, whatever. We just have faith that those little actions are going to result in whatever it is that we're trying to work with become functional, because the measure of faith. That faith needs to be applied to the things of God. And it's interesting to look at the aspects of evolution. It's interesting to consider what is being proposed there. And it's possible to see that it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe God spoke everything into existence. They mock our faith, when in reality the chance of, or the faith in the chance of all of that happening is amazing. Rabbi Zacharias is quite an intellectual, and you hear him on the radio or you read his stuff and so on. And he says it's interesting the way that people today will deny divine design, the design of creation. And their arguments are very carefully designed, very intellectually presented to deny that there is a designer who is divine. Why don't they just chaotically and by chance try to argue against it? Anyway, that a lot of faith in that process. That's true. The evolution starts out with the aspect of a amoeba and a fish or something coming out on dry land, starting in water. And where did that water come from? Well, they don't explain that. But anyway, the dinosaurs that are fabricated from one little bone that is found, and lo and behold, here's what it looked like. And it lived 300 to 600 million years ago, give or take 300 million. That's a lot of faith. It really is a lot of faith. Now, there's certainly evidence of the dinosaurs and so on. I don't know how we got on this, but here we go. There's footprints, there's eggs, there's bones, there's fossils, there's all of that. But that doesn't deny what the scriptures say. It's just understanding what God would say. Now, here's a theory. Evolution is no longer taught as a theory. It's taught as fact. I don't mind teaching evolution just as long as it's understood. It's a theory. You can't prove it. Here's a theory. There's a gap between Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and Genesis 1:2. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth, over the waters, and the earth was without form and void. The gap there shows that here was creation, and then now here is it's without form and void. That gap was a creation that existed before the one that we're living in now. Because when Satan fell, and we know Scripture talks about that, when Satan fell, there was destruction. And the life forms that happened then were destroyed. And he fell like lightning, the speed of light. I like that. That's really falling. It's not a graceful stumble. And they talk about an impact on the earth, an asteroid that destroyed the dinosaurs. Maybe that was Satan falling. I'm not teaching that. I'm just saying it's theory again. And it's interesting to look at that. Well, if they can come up with all kinds of different ideas, I guess we can come up with all kinds of different ideas and say these are possible theories. When it comes right down to it, I've just got to believe that God said, and his creation brought, or his word brought creation, and thank God his word still brings creation in our lives that brings about a tremendous change. And thank the Lord that there is power that we can believe. Well, what about the suffering? What about the pain? What about the hardship? Romans 8, 35 through 39 lists 17 different things that have the potential of really disrupting your faith, really messing things up. And life, death, things present, things to come, angels, and so on. Some pretty influential aspects that may come into your life. But Paul says, I am persuaded none of those things can move you from the love of Christ. None of those things are going to separate you from the love of Christ. That's faith. And Paul had experience with a number of those things so that he could demonstrate the power of the Lord. Amen. And Sister Annette, get your testimony ready about that little girl down in Nanilchik. The author of this lesson tells about his mother, who was a four-year-old, and reached up on the stove and grabbed a pot of hot soup, tipped it over on herself, and that scalding hot soup poured over her face, her shoulders, her chest, her right hand. And you can imagine the burns that she received. Little four-year-old began screaming, Mama. And Mama came running and saw what had happened and told the little girl, we've got to call on Jesus. Mama can't help you, but Jesus can. So the little girl started screaming, Jesus. pain was gone immediately. Praise God. Now, scalding hot soup can create at least second-degree burns, right? And those burns healed up because of calling on the name of Jesus. All right, Sister Annette, tell about the little girl who pulled oil on her. Aaron, why don't you come and speak to the microphone? Your voice is worn out from hollering at Alex, so we need to.
Okay. So it's about 5 or 6 years ago. The little girl. Anyway, I drove in. I was during the Nilchik Fair, so it was in August. And Amelia was probably, five then? And we were walking into the fair, and there was an ambulance behind us, and I didn't know what was going on. And as I was walking into the gate, a grandmother was carrying, she was about one, maybe not even one yet. And she was one of the food vendors there, and she worked with hot oil. And as the grandmother was heating up her oil, the baby had gotten underneath the oil vat or something. Anyway, somehow this burning oil had spilled from the top of her head all down her body. And as I walked in the gate, the grandmother was walking out the gate to meet the ambulance, and the baby was screaming. And I walked over to Alex, and I was really shaken. And I told him, I really need to pray for her. And he goes, well, why don't you go over there and pray for her? And I'm like, okay. So I ran back over there, and this was right before the ambulance had gotten there yet. It was at the same time. It was all happening at the same time. Anyway, so I laid my hands on the baby, and I prayed for her. And she was very appreciative. Anyway, the ambulance came, the paramedics came, they rushed the baby to the hospital. And I believe I must have prayed while the paramedic was there, because the next day or two, I saw the paramedic and Fred Myers, and he remembered me, and he was shocked at how well the baby was doing. They thought they were going to have to medevac her to Anchorage, to Seattle, but they ended up not having to. Her eyes ended up being fine. She didn't have any surgery. She was fine. I mean, the paramedic remembered me praying for her and how dramatic it was, enough to stop me at Fred Meyer and mention it. And so it was pretty incredible. And even to this day, last year at the Wednesday market, that particular woman, that grandmother, that vendor, has been a vendor at my market for the last couple of years, and now there's a connection there. And the really cool thing about it is that I would think about that little girl and pray for them and pray for that family. And that mother was a drug addict back then. So that's why the grandmother had the baby. Well, now that mother is living for God, and she has her baby back. And I mean, it's a pretty incredible story. And every time I see them, they're just so thankful. The grandmother mentions it all the time because she remembers. And that's just the power of God and just stepping out and being obedient, when God asks us to.
Amen. Praise God. Just simple faith, a simple hurried prayer, and look what the Lord has done. Praise God. And that's the power of faith. That's what God can do as we hold on to Him and believe what He is able to do through us. Praise God. And for us and with us. Not for our glory, but so that the Lord could be lifted up. Amen. And there's been several instances, Sister Annette related several instances that she's come in contact with that family. And again, assured, nothing wrong with the little girl. The Lord touched her. The Lord healed her. Amen. Those drastic circumstances where we don't know what to do, we can't do anything, but we let the Lord do it. Praise God. And we believe that He can bring it about, and He can make the change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Faith in the name of Jesus, faith in his power, and nothing elaborate, nothing eloquent, just faith and trusting God. How often all you have time for is Jesus, and he demonstrates his power in that way. Praise God. The greatest need, 1 Timothy 2 and 4, the greatest need is to find salvation. And the scripture lets us know that he wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. Now, here's where your action is involved. Here's where your effort, your faith is going to be part of the process. You're going to teach that truth. You're going to teach what the Word of God says about being saved. And again, so simple. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And then testimony after testimony of people who have experienced that new birth and the change that God has brought to their lives. 1 John 5 and 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. That's what has potential power, that no matter what circumstances you face, and all of us have the same battles but yet different. It's personalized. The devil personalizes things for you. But so does the Lord. Amen. He brings a personalized victory to you because of your faith that overcomes the world. And obviously the devil wants to defeat you in every way that he can. But thank the Lord, we can believe for salvation. We can believe for healing. We can believe for blessing and God's power being revealed. In Acts chapter 3, the lame man who sat at the gate is up on his feet, leaping and walking and praising God. In Acts 14, another similar circumstance, a man who was impotent in his feet, crippled in other words, and again had not walked, but here he is leaping and walking and praising God. Two incidents in the Word of the Lord in the book of Acts where that happened, as well as Tabitha being raised, Aeneas being raised. The record just is incredible for all that were healed. And probably Luke could add the disclaimer saying, I didn't have time to write it all, and I didn't have the quills or the ink or the paper to get it all down. God has done a tremendous work. Praise God. And at the end, we have a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're trusting for. Praise God. And our faith remains strong upon those promises. And he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you want to hear that, what do you have to do? You have to do well. By faith, and believe that he is going to bring about those changes and blessings that he wants to provide in our lives. Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, life continues on. And with all of the things that occur in life, we still keep praying. We still keep holding on. Amen. We want to pray for the Herrings today. Brother Herring's father passed away. An aneurysm in his heart and gone quickly, unexpectedly. Let's pray that the Lord would bless the Herrings and encourage them. Brother Farmer's son died in a motorcycle accident. Friday night. We want to hold Brother and Sister Farmer up in prayer that the Lord would work for them. Amen. Difficult things. But like Paul said, we're not destroyed. We're not in despair. We're not cast down. Thank the Lord. We can put our trust in Him. Our Easter outreach, thank the Lord. We can celebrate during this time and include others in the celebration and let them know it's more than eggs, it's more than chicks, it's more than baskets, bunnies, and all of the other things that have become a part of this Easter tradition. It's a resurrected Lord. Amen. And thank God we put our trust in Him. Let's stand today, and let's bring the herrings. And the